Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues show. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, Mr. Tim Bornholt. Tim is a co-founder of the Jed Mahonis Group, where he helps businesses strategize, design, develop, and deploy custom iOS and Android mobile applications. His firm has built software for many startups, as well as large brands over the years, including Great Clips, Green Mill, and Quickly. And that software is currently used by millions of people around the world. Tim is also an award-winning videographer and podcaster, and he currently hosts the Constant Variables podcast, where he simplifies complex mobile app concepts for entrepreneurs and product managers. Today, Tim is going to share with us a specific example about how he was able to use business infrastructure concepts to streamline his company's sales pipeline from initial inquiry to final work order. And I'm particularly excited to hear how he did this because, think about it, we all have a sales process, whether we formalize it or not. And if we didn't have any type of sales, we obviously would not be in business. So anything that we can do to streamline those processes and yield better results, to me, is definitely worth learning about. So Tim, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thanks, Alicia. I'm really glad to be here too.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I hope I don't sound like I've got as bad a cold as I feel like I'm getting, but you know, with the 2.5-year-old running around the house with whatever she brings home, sometimes you pick up something.
And you know, you're in a part of the country where, are you guys still dealing with that polar vortex situation?
We're kind of de-thawing at this point. Down with the wind chills, it was down to negative 60 at one point.
Oh, and, my God. I can't even imagine. That,
it was, I mean, you're in Georgia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know it's like an inch of snow there completely shuts the city down for a week. But, you know, here we've had over like 3.5 feet of snow this year. It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, not a whole lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. I truly cannot imagine. enough about weather. Can you first start off by telling us a little bit more about what you do at the Jed Mahonis Group?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started the business 7 years ago, our original intent was, you know, we want to build custom mobile apps. We specialize in building native iOS and Android apps. And originally, you know, my background, I've been building websites since I was in first grade. I went to school for computer science, all that good stuff. So when we started the company, I thought I would do all the CTO kind of things, you know, leading the product, doing all the programming, all that kind of stuff. Well, my business partner, who was my best friend from high school, he got a degree in business, and we assumed he'd be doing all the sales and marketing and all of that kind of stuff. And as we've grown over the last 7 years, it's become more apparent that he prefers doing the CTO stuff and I prefer doing the sales and marketing stuff. So we've kind of swapped roles halfway through our business. And ever since we made that switch, I mean, things have been going really, really well. So on any given day, you know, my job is to work with customers to figure out what kind of apps they want to build and how to strategize what technology is out there to really help improve their processes within their own business.
That's really interesting that you all swapped roles. And that's actually a great segue to my next question for you. So I know you're going to talk to us about how you were specifically able to automate your own sales process. So at what point, especially being that you're an app developer, at what point did you realize that you needed to automate that process in particular?
Well, I think really, you know, taking even a step back from that, what really triggered it was we realized we didn't have a process. I mean, like you said, you have a process, but you would think that somebody who deals with functions and algorithms and process on a daily basis. And when we're consulting with our clients, we advise them too, you know, we got to know what your process is before we can build out your app. You know, it took kind of putting a mirror in front of ourselves and saying, well, you know, if we wanted to automate it, how can you automate that which you don't know, you know? So it took really sitting down and figuring out what our process was and just starting really rudimentarily, if that's a word, really basically, in order to just figure out something, get something down, and then we're able to kind of take steps to, you know, make it more and more complex as we went along.
Now, I've in the past dealing with some of my clients, and whenever we start talking about documenting their sales process, sometimes there's pushback because there are people who believe that's more of a creative process and they don't want too much structure around it, or too many formalities might make the process come across as robotic and not as organic as it should be, being that it is something like sales. How did you all address that?
Man, that's a tough question.
Sorry.
No. I mean, it's tough in the sense that I still feel that way, that a lot of my job is, you know, when you're doing custom work, I mean, no matter what industry you're in, if what you do is unique for every single customer, how do you quantify what those different points are in order to, you know, provide a more automated process? And I think, you know, in our case, since we do consulting work, there's never going to be a point at which, I mean, you know, AI and as artificial intelligence gets stronger, maybe 100 years down the road or something, we don't have to have a human involved. But at this point, you know, we can get part of it automated. And as we figure out, you know, which parts are consistent across every single project, you can at least figure out ways to automate that part of it. So then when you are focusing on the truly creative parts of coming up with your work order or whatever estimate you're coming up with, you have enough flexibility built into your process that you at least automate away the stuff you do for everybody, and then leave room for yourself to play with the numbers and do what you need to do to finish the sale.
I think what you said is so important, because a process doesn't have to be rigid. It doesn't have to be robotic. It can still have that flexibility and allow for that creativity. So I really like the fact that you mentioned that there are certain elements of a process, regardless of who's performing it, that can be done pretty consistently. And so, as a note to those of you listening, whatever has to be done consistently could more than likely be automated. Is that a safe assumption or assumption to make, or a statement just to make in general?
Yes, there are, you know, if you find yourself repeating a task more than once, even if it's, you know, twice, if you do it twice a year, there's this comic that I should send you, so you can put it in the show notes. But have you ever heard of XKCD, the comic strip?
No, I have not. So tell me more.
So it's it's this super nerdy guy that's like very like science and math humor. But one thing that he does from time to time is puts out these comics that just kind of shed a light on all kinds of you know, interesting things. One thing specifically that I was thinking of is he did this comic where he took a common task, like a list of common tasks, and says, if you do it this many times per year, the amount of time it takes for you to automate it will save you this much time going down the road. So as an example, if you are constantly putting out, like let's say you have a template that you go in and by hand you're creating something in a Google Doc. Every single time you're typing in all the same things over and over again, if you automate, if it takes you 45 minutes to type up that form and you automate it, so all those variables just plug in right where it needs to, then you've saved 45 minutes every single time that you generate a new estimate. And that comic is really something that I go back to time and time again, because there is like a point where, you know, if you do it once a year and it saves you 10 seconds, maybe that's not worth automating. But if you're doing something, like we said, like if you're putting on an estimate where you're doing an hour's worth of work in something that you could just automate away, you know, through technology, that'll save you so much time depending on how many sales you're putting out every year.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Now, for those who may be listening to this show for the first time, let me just define what we mean when we talk about business infrastructure. So business infrastructure is nothing more than a system for linking people, processes, and key tools and technologies to ensure that you can, or your company can, grow in a profitable and sustainable way. So, Tim, who were the specific people and processes that you had to use in automating your overall sales process? Like, who did you have to get involved? We know the technology. You actually built a custom app, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, how did you bring all of that together to bring this into fruition?
So, at the beginning, when we started going down this track of defining our process, at that point, we had three different people in our company that were managing sales. So there were three different people doing three different things that, to this day, I still don't know what, if I picked up a sale that somebody else did 4 years ago, I have no idea what I'm even looking at. So what it really took was, at first, we all had to get in a room together and sit down and say, what are we doing? It really came down to, what information should we track? What information is relevant to actually closing the sale? I think one thing when you're going down this track of trying to automate your sales, you look at all these different CRM solutions.
Yes.
Where it's just like, you open up Salesforce and it's like you're bringing, some kind of giant hammer to something where you just need to pound in a little tack. It's like way too much for what you're doing. So for us, it was all about, what are the key things that we needed to track? And for us, all it came down to was, we needed to track the client's name, their email address, the project name, and then the last step that we took with them, and the next step that needs to happen, and the due date of that next step. That was really, when it came down to it, it was like six things that we just needed to be able to know, so that at any given point, we can go back and say, okay, we know what we did last time we talked to them, and this is what needs to be done for the next time. That was really all it took for the initial outlay of figuring out what we were going to do here.
And so once you had it in place and you had that clarity on exactly what needed to be done, what could actually be automated, and you actually built this new app, what have been the results? How was it received? How did you actually deploy it, I guess, within your company?
Well, it was interesting because when we first were talking about just gathering those steps, we didn't even build custom software. And I think that's one thing I would love your listeners to take away from this is, you don't have to go to, like I said, you don't have to go to Salesforce or some giant tool to get the job done. We started with a Google Sheet. We built custom software all day. And at the end of the day, the right tool for the job was just use a Google Sheet. And by doing that, we were able to figure out what is a good process. And you run into the limitations really quickly. For us, the limitation was, we had no historical data. We were just taking whatever was in the next steps column and overwriting what was in the last steps column, So like right there, we were coming into figuring out where were our limitations with Google Sheets. And that was what led us to actually developing our own in-house tool.
So this is definitely in alignment with something that I speak of often, which is continuous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, it's so easy to fall prey to that shiny object syndrome. And I hear a lot of people talk about Salesforce, but to your point, I mean, you don't need the whole shebang. You just need that little tiny piece. So why not start off with a tool that might be free or very low cost initially? And I like how you said, run into the limitations quickly and figure out what you need in the next iteration of automation, what you actually need.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, especially, when you're going down this path, it's really scary to try to figure out, like, if you don't know what your process is.
Exactly.
And it's not documented. So it's really easy to get super overwhelmed. And when I talk with clients about building apps, usually people come to me and say, it has to do this, and it's like a list of 80 things. And it's like, you don't really need it to do all 80 things. Like, let's just focus on get one part of your business automated and working correctly, and then expand from there.
I really like that. So it sounds like, so this is, again, a great segue into my next question for you, which is, what lessons did you learn as a result of doing this in-house for your own company?
Man, we've learned a ton. Since we started just documenting that process of sales, it's led us all throughout our company to document everything. And, you know, when we first started, and I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs feel the same way, you know, you kind of feel like a teenager in high school where you're like, oh man, I'm not going to do it the way that they want me to do it. And you kind of feel like a rebel that you're going to start a business and not have any rules and all the red tape and bureaucracy, especially if you came from someplace that had a ton of bureaucracy, right?
Yes.
But, you know, for me, I was the exact same way where my business partner and I were like, we don't need rules. Let's just do it and see what happens. And going from that kind of mentality to, oh my God, this process doesn't need to, it doesn't need to be bureaucratic and super rigid, but we need to have something we can agree upon. And once you get to that point, we've been seeing just tremendous results from our business. Just we've been able to, you know, before we weren't tracking anything, we were losing sales left and right because we would tell somebody, oh yeah, you know, I'll get you an answer here really quick. And then you get, you know, distracted, like you said, by the next shiny thing. You completely forget about that person and they move on. So I know we've been able to convert more sales. We've been able to get people in on, you know, listen to their needs and get new sales out of, you know, the kind of features that they're looking for and so forth. So yeah, it's been a net positive for sure.
I wish I could like take everything that you just said and kind of use that as my sales promo for my own company. Because you, oh my gosh, you hit the nail on the head when you said that there's this resistance to becoming more corporate-like when you start to document things, and that can turn some people off, especially entrepreneurs who really take pride in having a family-owned or family-friendly type of culture and environment at their company. And they start to think that the more they document and formalize things, that it will become more rigid. It will become more corporate-like. And that's not necessarily the case. So I'm really glad that you said that.
Well, hey, if you are looking for a co-author on your next bestseller, you know, I'm happy to help.
Yes, if you could write the foreword, that would be
awesome.
There we go. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break and hear this message from our sponsor. Do you currently have more business than you can handle? Do you need to hire more people but don't have processes documented to train them? Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success is a book that explains, step by step, how to create business infrastructure in your company so that you can hire the right people to do the right things in the right working conditions. It's the world's first book ever written about business infrastructure exclusively for small businesses. Visit behindthefacadebook.com to get your copy today. That's behindthefacadebook.com. And we are back with Tim Bornholt. Before the break, Tim, you were telling us about how you were able to use this custom app technology that your company is well known for to solve this problem of automating your sales process. And I love the fact that you spoke to the benefits of having done that, obviously being able to convert more sales, being able to track things, going from we don't need this to yes, we can still have processes without having bureaucracy. What advice would you give to those who are listening right now who may be experiencing something similar in their business?
I would say, just like we've been talking about before, the big key is start small. Don't get super caught in the weeds with having to think you need to perfect it on day one. Just find one piece of your business that you can get, you know, a quick win in, something that you tend to spend, you know, if it takes you 8 hours to come up with an estimate, for example, and that's because you have to go in and create a template and you have to, you know, calculate a whole bunch of things, like figure out what in that process you're doing that you can just a small tweak that you can automate somehow. And as I know you probably see it the same way with your clients, like as soon as you start to see the win and the benefits of that automation, it's a bug. You know, you get addicted to trying to find the next small win that you can have. So just start small, pick something easy, get it implemented, and you'll quickly see the benefits, and you will want to continue to make small improvements as you go.
So true. So true. Now, as you went through that whole process and as you continue to apply this to other parts of your business, what are some of the resources that you relied on, and what would you recommend, again, for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, you know, when I saw you were going to ask, you know, is this the three resources?
Yes.
that we've had? Awesome. So, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot because I think it's a really great question, and I have an opportunity to help other people. So I'm trying to think of, okay, what are the things that have really helped me out just in business in general? So, here are my three things. The first one is a podcast called How I Built This. It's an NPR podcast. I feel like I might get my my hipster podcast credentials pulled because I'm not you know, throwing out some obscure podcast reference, but it's an NPR podcast. Everyone's heard of it, but it is so good. And the reason that the reason that I love it so much is you know, you see these mega successful people that are running billion-dollar businesses, and you just hear all of their vulnerabilities. They lay it all out there, you know, divorce, failures, all these lawsuits. You just hear all this stuff of like people going through really hard times. And I mean, it's not, I mean, I say that and it makes it sound like I'm taking pleasure in people's misery, but it's more about these, like, everyone goes through really, you know, the entrepreneur journey is really hard. And it's so reassuring to know that these people that are running these massive businesses at one point are in the exact same shoes that you were. So it's more of a motivation every week to just keep going. You know, there is potential for light at the end of the rainbow.
I agree. And can I just ask really quickly, did you happen to hear the episode where they interviewed one of the co-founders of Airbnb?
Oh, yeah.
That was... So for those of you listening, you know what? In fact, I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes. To me, it was just so enlightening because, like you said, these guests, they just lay it all out there on the line. And you actually get to take a peek behind the curtain, right?
Yeah. And it's nuts.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Please continue. That's
no.
To share, by the way.
Excellent. Good. I personally love it. my second resource is a book. It's called Deep Work, and it's by Cal Newport, who's a computer science professor. But have you heard of that book by chance?
No, I haven't. Mm-mm.
So it's all about, you know, I think anybody that is growing up in this era has to deal with distractions all the time. And even if you're an entrepreneur, your attention is being pulled by so many different directions. And if you're not an entrepreneur, if you're in a business right now, that's a big business, you're being pulled into meetings all the time. And this book is really, really great at giving you tools in order to focus and be able to actually achieve a state where you're able to do, you know, really quality work and work at a high pace. So I'm probably not doing it justice at all. I would say go to the library, go wherever you can, buy this book and read it. It is seriously life-changing if you are struggling with trying to focus while you're building out your business.
I will definitely check that out.
And then my third resource is, so I thought, you know, being a app developer slash nerd, I figured I need to have at least one kind of nerdy resource. So one place that I would love to send people is, there's a blog called Signal Versus Noise, and it's by by the company that put out Basecamp. I don't know if you've ever used Basecamp. Yeah.
Yes.
So, those two guys, you know, they're very in the tech community, they're really well respected because of their technical intelligence. But this blog, it's almost like a daily How I Built This episode where they lay out everything about their business. They are not ashamed to talk about anything and all their failures, their successes. And they have really great insight into how to run a business where, you're doing it, you know, as ethically and thinking about your employees and their health and all of that good stuff. Like it's really if you're just looking for kind of, more insider baseball into how a really successful business is run, that blog, they usually put out a post every day and it's really, really good.
Now, there's one resource that you forgot to plug. That's your own podcast.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I should plug that too.
Yes, of course. And here's why, because when I was looking at your website and I noticed there, I think if I'm, please correct me if I'm wrong. So there's certain episodes within the podcast that where you actually walk people through the entire life cycle of app development. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so our show is called Constant Variables. It's at constantvariables.co or wherever you're listening to this podcast. It started, you know, we're still kind of trying to figure out what our you know, thing is, but so we have several different seasons that we've tried. We if you go back and listen to all our episodes, we have a bunch of episodes just generally talking about, you know, the whole theme of the show is we want to take app development and make it not scary for people. Because I think everybody thinks that, you know, me as an app developer, I go into my dark basement and stroke my giant beard and wave my wand and zap outcomes magic, you know? And I think people just are just afraid to know how it works. And so I really want people to be able to approach technology and come at it with the same, you know, at least basic overview of what's going on as you would, you know, you might not be a sales expert or a marketing expert or, you know, any other kind of facet of your business, but you at least have to have a good, you know, broad understanding of it. So, in the episodes you're talking about, we just did a series where we go through our app development lifecycle. So we tell you, you know, here's how we come up with the strategy for your app. Here's how we design it. Here's how we develop it and test it. And then finally, here's how we ship it to the app store and then come back to the beginning and keep adding in features. So if you are interested in app development and just software development in general, check out that show.
I highly recommend it, because especially if you have very specific questions, and like Tim is saying, it can help ease some of the fears that you may have around app development. And I'm assuming at some point the cost for app development is also addressed.
Yes.
Because I know that's a big hurdle because when we think apps, we're thinking big. We're thinking, you know, apps that are associated with well-known brands that we all know, like, trust, and love. But so we think that it's far-fetched and without our reach from a financial standpoint.
And that's, you know, sometimes depending on what your idea is, that is absolutely true. I mean, app developers aren't cheap. If you go in and just were to hire just an iOS developer here in Minnesota, I mean, you're looking well into the six figures. I mean, well over $100,000 at least. So finding app talent is tough, which means that the cost of app development it can be prohibitive. But, you know, depending on what your idea is, we have a lot of tools in our tool chest in order to, like we said, you start small and you see the benefits and you reinvest the gains that you've made back into your software. You continue to improve it. And so it's just like anything else, you know, you can start and have, you can buy a you can buy a house in the middle of downtown Minneapolis, or you could buy a house in the middle of the woods. There's all kinds of houses that you can buy. So it's the same thing with apps. You know, there's all kinds of apps you can buy, all kinds of features that can go into it. So, you know, we really are trying to help businesses improve and grow. So we'll work with anybody to figure out, you know, something that would work within a budget.
Well, that's good to know. How can people get in touch with you, Tim?
You can find me on Twitter and you know, all over the internet. I'm just at Tim Bornholt. Nobody else has my name apparently. So you can find me pretty
Lucky
much anywhere
you.
You're looking. Right.
Lucky you, the one and only, literally.
There you go.
Well, look, there is a lot more that we can say about this, but unfortunately we have come to a close. But I really want to just say thank you so much, Tim. I for one certainly feel more at ease about app development, because it is something for people like myself who don't have that type of coding expertise and app development expertise, it is a little scary, just to be perfectly honest with you. So thank you so much for breaking this down in a very non-technical way that we could all relate to. I appreciate that.
It was my pleasure, Alicia. And anytime you want me back on the show, or like I said, when you want to get ready to start writing that next book, I'm happy to help.
Well, let's definitely stay in touch. Now I want to talk to you, the person listening to this right now. Can your company also benefit from automating its sales process, or any process for that matter? Here's a recap of how Tim was able to do this in his company. He talked about first putting up a mirror to their own company operations. They then realized that before they could start to automate their process, they needed to first document it, standardize the process across the different people who were actually performing that process. One thing that they also did was they really tried to figure out, now that we have our process documented, what steps or tasks are repetitive? What work is consistently being done, regardless of who the client may be or what type of project it is? When you start to invest in automating your process, start small. You want to try to figure out where the limitations are quickly, and then in the spirit of continuous improvement, you can eventually start to expand and implement this automation across other parts of your company. Technology, as Tim has so cleverly and beautifully described to us, really doesn't have to be scary. If you want to learn more about Tim and his company, the Jed Mahonis Group, definitely reach out to him. He can be found all over online. His handle is at Tim Bornholt. And when you go to the show notes, we'll also have links to his podcast, as well as the resources that he shared today and his company's website. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.